on everything ag retail.
This year, wouldn't it be great to stop dealing with thin, brittle, shedding hair and instead have the thick, healthy, gorgeous hair you've always wanted? Well, now you can by using Hair Volume from New Nordic. Hair Volume is one of many award-winning natural health products from New Nordic, the number one supplier of dietary supplements in Scandinavia. Available in tablet or delicious gummy, Hair Volume is the all-natural solution trusted by millions of women around the world to say goodbye to thin, brittle, shedding hair. That's because Hair Volume contains a proprietary formula, including apple extract, which is clinically proven to promote thicker and healthier hair. You don't need to feel embarrassed by thinning hair. You don't need to keep dealing with shedding. All you need is daily Hair Volume tablets or gummies to start looking and feeling your best. Look for Hair Volume at your local Walgreens and CVS or online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com. Go to NewNordicUSA.com, Amazon, or ask for Hair Volume at your local Walgreens or CVS.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Biden in Pennsylvania this hour, kicking off his first re-election campaign event of the year. His speech now focusing on the threats to democracy, he says, since the birth of the nation and 3 years after the January 6th insurrection.
Today we gather in a new year, some 246 years later, just one day before January 6th. A day forever shared in our memory because it was on that day that we nearly lost America. Lost it all.
Investigators in Iowa trying to determine a motive in yesterday's shooting at Perry High School. Police say 17-year-old Dylan Butler shot and killed a sixth grader and injured five others before turning the gun on himself. Secretary of State Antony Blinken on the ground in Turkey today. It's his first stop on a Middle East trip. He's trying to gain support and keep the Israel-Hamas war from spreading in the region. This is ABC News. The gradual warming of the southeastern United States has invited an influx of creatures that previously could not have survived there. And because of that, wildlife officials are sounding the alarm.
It began a few months ago when someone in Georgia spotted a yellow-legged hornet, a relative of the so-called murder hornet. And while it's no more dangerous to people than a native hornet, entomologist Keith De La Plaine says,
for beekeepers, I do think this is a grave concern.
Fishermen started spotting a non-native blue crab off the Georgia coast. And now comes the invasive cannibal tree frog, which eats everything it can get into its mouth, including frogs that are native to Georgia. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Tesla is recalling more than 1.5 million electric vehicles exported to China. The issue, problems with automatic assisted steering and door latch controls. Owners will not need to visit service centers, as Tesla says it will use remote upgrades to fix the problems. That recall affects Model S, X, 3, and Model Ys. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Get Latex Rugged XL Premium Wiper Blades now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Their extra-large profile and premium features make Rugged XL Blades the right choice for extreme weather driving and durability. Buy two Rain-X Rugged XL Premium Wiper Blades and save $12, plus get two times O Rewards points. Our professional parts people will even install them for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Start the new year off with a bang of big savings during the Omaha Steaks end-of-season event. You can stock up on all your favorites and get 50% off site-wide. That's 50% off perfectly aged tender steaks, juicy burgers, decadent desserts, and even classic comfort meals. Go to omahasteaks.com, and when you use code QUALITY at checkout, you'll get an extra $30 off your order. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code QUALITY at checkout for an extra $30 off your order. Minimum purchase may apply.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Medical marijuana is closer to becoming a reality in Wisconsin.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says a bill is nearly ready.
Our caucus has spent a lot of time reaching a consensus among itself to make sure that we knew we had 50 Republican votes to be able to pass it.
And Governor Tony Evers gives his conditional support.
The bill could be filled with poison pills that I don't like. But at the end of the day, the people of Wisconsin support recreational marijuana and they support medicinal use of marijuana.
Evers and Democrats in the legislature prefer full legalization, something Voss says Republicans who control both chambers will never allow. At the Capitol, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A central Wisconsin man has pled not guilty to charges of distributing fentanyl-laced meth, including a dose that killed a woman earlier this year.
Matthew Gesicki entered the plea Thursday morning for multiple counts, including reckless homicide and manufacturing or delivering methamphetamine. Officers say that he sold the lethal dose to a man, saying he should be careful with the dosage because he had been, quote, putting fentanyl in everything. That man then shared the drugs with his girlfriend, who died from an overdose. The pleas cover two open cases and multiple counts, the most severe of which could land him in prison for up to 80 years if he's found guilty. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Warning about former President Donald Trump from a former military officer. Retired Navy Rear Admiral Michael Smith is founder and president of National Security Leaders for America.
We are going to use our unique perspectives to warn the American people that Trump must never again be allowed in the Oval Office.
Smith is on the road with his message to voters. He spoke Thursday at the Capitol in Madison and in Milwaukee. Smith says Trump poses an existential threat to American democracy.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between. Find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Cloudy through the afternoon in our Real Country 1430 forecast. We'll have temperatures in the mid-30s, even a chance of flurries as well. South winds at around 10. Tonight, 40% chance of snow, lows mid-20s. Tomorrow, cloudy, a chance of flurries, highs mid-30s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas boys basketball tonight. The Panthers hosting Glenwood City. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 7. Tip-off at 7:15 here on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. And on our websites at realcountry1430.com.
I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We have a lot to get to on our program here today. Coming up, we're going to have a conversation with Brian Jennings from the American Coalition for Ethanol, get an update on some of the various ethanol biofuel-related issues as we kick off 2024. I know there's been a lot of talk surrounding E15 and more. We're going to catch up on that and other topics with Brian Jennings coming up here in Segment 2 today. In Segment 3, we're also going to take a look at how things are shaping up in Washington, D.C. and more as we are getting into 2024. John Bodie, President and CEO of the Corn Refiners Association, is going to join us here after the bottom of the hour. And then at the end of the show today, we're going to learn more about some of the research variety trials being done by the Illinois Soybean Association and how that research can help farmers. Abigail Peterson, Director of Agronomy with the Illinois Soybean Association, is going to join us coming up here before we wrap up the program today. So, as I mentioned, a lot to get to on the show. Let's kick it off, though, and take a look at what is happening in the markets here. Kind of mixed activity on Friday's session. Joining us for a conversation, pleased to have him on AOA, I believe for the first time. Jeff French with Ag Hedgers is joining us here today. Jeff, thanks so much for being on AOA with us. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, doing great. Happy New Year, Jesse. And yes, it is the first time on AOA, but hopefully not the last.
Well, hopefully not the last. That is for sure. Jeff, let's take a look at what's happening in this grain market and just kind of the big picture broadly here. We see corn, beans kind of mixed and quiet here on Friday session, wheat a little higher. I know overall South America weather, of course, continues to be a big driver here early in our calendar year, especially on this soy complex. Talk about just big picture, 1,000-foot view, what you're seeing here in this grain trade as we are wrapping up the first week of the new year.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, we're here first week of January, all eyes in South America. And over the holiday weekend, the rains were better than expected. And we're not talking small rains. We're talking 2, 3, 4, 5-inch rains. And now the forecast is even indicating that more rains to come. So you had the bean market really under pressure, opened the year, gapped lower, and now we're down about 30, 35 cents on the week. We hit a fresh 7-month low here today. March got down to 1257, taking out some big chart support technically. But yes, it's, you know, we're going into the report next week. You know, we'll see what it brings. I mean, domestically, our bean supply is very tight, and we've known that for some time. But look, in the last 30 days, these beans are down $1.50 a bushel. So obviously the market is okay with that supply as they anticipate that more supply is coming down from South America. So, you know, there is questions of how big that Brazil crop is. You know, some analysts have it down in that 152 million metric tons. But when you put all of South America together, they're going to grow a big crop. And Brazil alone planted 110, 112 million acres of beans. So coming into this new year under pressure, the beans definitely spilled over into the corn market. Corn started the new year hitting new contract lows. You have December below this psychological support of $5 with the new crop corn. If it takes out that 490, I'm going to be very getting more aggressive on getting some protection in place, because we've been above 490 essentially here for the last 3 years. So starting off the year a little negative. Now, the wheat is one bright spot. Wheat is up 5 to 6 cents here today after reversing. We are 30 cents off the lows from yesterday. A couple things. The U.S. dollar is under heavy pressure here this morning after rallying the last 3 days. Jobs report was better than expected. So now, you know, we're back to, well, if the Fed is going to make cuts next year. So that's going to be an ongoing process here in the next 6 to 9 months. But overall, the grain market is kind of subdued. You know, this week there's still a lot of players, a lot of traders taking the week off because it's a four-day week. Next Friday, a week from today, we get that all-important final WASD report for the final production for the 2023 row crops. So that will set the tone here, obviously, with South America weather being a big influencer here for the next 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, very, very true there, Jeff. In terms of this corn market, too, how much farmer selling have you seen or heard of here in the first few days of the new calendar year? I know traditionally we could see a lot of that with a new tax year, et cetera, but I know a lot of farmers not really loving the current price out there, some of the basis out there across the Midwest. So are you seeing a lot of farmer selling right now? Talk about that a little bit.
Very little right now, Jesse. I mean, this is a down market. I mean, we, you know, as a company, we just do not like to sell into down markets. What we tend to do is hold on to our put options. We'll buy something on paper to protect that. We want to sell strength, and we want to sell when everybody wants our product. And you know, you look at it seasonally, the first week of January is not a really good time to sell. I mean, it's perfect logistically. You can haul it. I mean, this winter has been perfect. Mm-hmm. The roads are wide open. Heck, I don't even think we're even frozen here. I'm sitting here in West Central Iowa. I don't think the ground's frozen yet. So basis continues to be weak. We thought we'd have a little bit firmer, but right now here at my local ethanol plant, we're three below the March board right now. So ethanol margins are really weak here, so that is contributing to the weak basis. But all in all, weak prices, not a lot of selling activity, which can be expected.
On the cattle side, too, I'll ask you about that real quick, Jeff. We had a really great start to the week on Tuesday. You look here, wrap it up on Friday, a little bit of green early on the session in the cattle trade. Any thoughts here in this cattle market? What should we be watching for here in this month ahead?
Very good start. You're absolutely right. We gapped higher on the first day of the trading year. There were some 175 cash trades reported up north here. As of this morning down south, I got 172 bids in Kansas. Looks like offers are right in that 75 area. So we'll see what develops here on cash cattle Friday. But seasonally, this is where you'd want to be long cattle. We do have some weather coming in next week, which could be our first snowfall of the year. That should support the market. And you look at it historically, I mean, typically the first quarter cash prices in cattle tends to be higher than the previous fourth quarter on the calendar. So we're certainly starting off that way. Obviously, we came into the new year on a big downtrend. We don't need to rehash that. We all remember that. But yes, we're starting out good. Cash, we're ticking up here. The feeder cattle are making fresh six-week highs up here at 226 in the January. So get your feeder cattle protection if you got to buy calves here this spring.
I know folks can reach out to you with questions. AgHedgers.com, a great place to start. Jeff French, thanks for joining us here on AOA today. We'll get you back on the show again real soon. Appreciate it. Have a good one. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Jesse. Anytime.
All right, Jeff French there with Ag Hedgers joining us on Agriculture of America. Coming up next, we'll talk with Brian Jennings from the America Coalition for Ethanol. Back with more here on AOA right after this. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
The archaeological record suggests that wheat was first cultivated in the regions of the Fertile Crescent, also known as the cradle of civilization, around 9600 BC. The Roman goddess Ceres, who was deemed protector of the grain, gave grains their common name today, cereal. Wheat is the primary grain used in U.S. grain products. Approximately 3/4 of all U.S. grain products are made from wheat flour. The first bagel rolled into the world in 1683 when a baker from Vienna, Austria, was thankful to the King of Poland for saving Austria from Turkish invaders. The baker reshaped the local bread so that it resembled the king's stirrup. The new bread was called Bugel, derived from the German word for stirrup. Ancient traditional tortillas were made from ground corn by Mexican natives as long as 2,000 years ago. However, flour tortillas only started to become popular in the 19th century. More types of foods are made with wheat than with any other cereal grain. These farm facts brought to you by the American Ag Network.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm...
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, as we kick off a new year, we continue to watch the news headlines surrounding ethanol and biofuels. There is plenty going on still as we move from 2023 to 2024. And here to give us an update and talk about things, he is the CEO of the America Coalition for Ethanol, Brian Jennings. Brian, it's great to talk with you again. Happy New Year. How are you?
Hey, Jesse. Happy New Year to you and your listeners. I'm doing pretty well, thanks.
Well, we appreciate you joining us, Brian. Let's dive in, not waste any time. As we look at the landscape here for ethanol and biofuels, there's a lot going on, as I mentioned. Let's start with E15. And I know there's been plenty of movement on E15 here. in the last few weeks. I know we're waiting to see an Office of Management and Budget decision here, I believe. Get us up to speed on where things stand for year-round unrestricted E15 sales in the U.S.
Well, after stalling and really foot-dragging for months, Jesse, the Environmental Protection Agency has finally sent, as you indicated, the final rule, which would allow 8 Midwestern states to sell E15 year-round on a permanent basis, to the Office of Management and Budget in the White House, which is the last stop before any federal regulation can be finally approved. And so we were grateful for that step. That was right before Christmas. And we're hopeful now that we're into 2024 that the OMB will kick that rule out sooner rather than later, Jesse, because the calendar is important here for terminal operators and fuel retailers. The summer driving season begins April of 2024, but for those that are upstream of that, the fuel terminals and others, they're going to need to know the rules of the road prior to that sometime in March. And so the sooner that this rule can be approved for those 8 Midwestern states, the sooner all of the market participants will be able to prepare for this in those 8 states. So that would be helpful for 8 states, but it doesn't cover the nation, of course.
Well, and I know with those 8 states, I know the governors in those states have really been one of the cogs at the forefront, so to speak, kind of trying to push this forward. And to your point, hopefully we can get a decision here soon from the Office of Management and Budget. Where do we stand as far as trying to get E15 access across the country, though? Something I think is a key here. I know I just saw, I believe, Montana approved the use of E15, the 49th state to do so here just this past week. But, I mean, you know, where do we stand in terms of trying to get E15 year-round across the entire country, Brian? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you're right. In a largely symbolic but also important step, Montana became the 49th state to approve regulations that would allow E15. That leaves California, which happens to be the largest fuel market in the country, as the only remaining holdout. And there are some activities going on in California right now that should help pave the way for E15 there. But in order to allow E15 in every single state on a permanent basis, we are likely going to need to enact bipartisan legislation, Jesse, which has been pending in Congress the last couple of years. And the reason for that is that the Clean Air Act is outdated. It did not contemplate that we could have E15 when it comes to fuel use. It only contemplated E10. And so when it comes to emission regulations and under the Clean Air Act in the summertime, E10 is the only fuel that's approved nationwide in all of the states. And so we've got to have Congress enact legislation once and for all to update the Clean Air Act to allow E15 in all of the states, all months of the year. And we got really close to that at the end of 2023. We didn't quite cross the finish line. And we're hoping in the first half, Jesse, of this election year, 2024, we can continue to mobilize bipartisan support for this legislation pending in both the House and the Senate and try to get that bill across the finish line.
We're talking with Brian Jennings, CEO of the American Coalition for Ethanol. And Brian, good thoughts on E15. We'll, of course, stay close with what's happening there as we move forward. Hopefully, as you indicated, we can get some movement on that legislation in the first half of this year. I want to turn our attention to a win here. The GREET model, the Treasury decision to allow GREET being used for the SAF tax credit, sustainable aviation fuel. Obviously, there has been a lot of talk about the growth here of SAF. And I know that, again, towards the end of December, that was a pretty big win for the ethanol industry as a whole, wasn't it?
It really was. And for your listeners, sustainable aviation fuel represents a potentially huge new marketplace for ethanol and, frankly, other biofuels, which can be further processed into essentially a drop-in fuel that can be used by the aviation industry without any changes to their engines or their infrastructure when it comes to aviation. And so having the Department of Treasury open the door, and we still have some more work to do on this front, but it is a victory in that the Department of Treasury opened the door to allow the U.S. Department of Energy GREET model to be used to determine the carbon intensity of these various feedstocks, such as corn-based ethanol, that could be used to produce the sustainable aviation fuel is a big damn deal. And the reason it is because the GREET model is by far superior to the other approaches out there when it comes to not only updating, keeping up to date with the science on life cycle greenhouse gas emissions, but also making sure a fair accounting of what happens on the farm is considered, because after all, about half of corn ethanol's carbon intensity has to do with how that corn is grown, fertilizer use, tillage practices, things like that. And so the GREET model is a superior approach to others that are out there when it comes to fairly and scientifically assessing the greenhouse gas emissions from those activities. And so we're now waiting for some updates that would be made to the GREET model, Jesse, which we anticipate would be done by about March of this year. And hopefully once those updates are complete, then we will have the green light and really clear the runway, if you will, for opportunities for ethanol producers to sell to others who want to make sustainable aviation fuel and tap into that new marketplace.
It's interesting, Brian. It's great to see this happen here in terms of getting sustainable aviation fuel, pushing that forward in other market for, you know, ethanol to jet. We talk about that, other biofuels. It's interesting to me, though, you know, we see a win like this from this administration, yet, you know, we have the whole push for EVs. This administration wants electric vehicles, half a new sales by 2030. So it's like, to me, it feels like they're pushing one thing here that's a negative towards ethanol and biofuels, yet they're pushing something else that is a good thing. It's quite interesting. Some of it doesn't make sense sometimes, I guess, Brian.
Oh, I completely hear you. It's very frustrating to see the continued sort of fantasy behind pushing an electric vehicle only future. And a lot of the wind came out of that sail as we approached the end of 2023, when you saw automaker after automaker declare that the sales of their electric vehicles fell short of expectations, and making announcements that they were going to dramatically reduce the number of EVs they are putting on dealership lots going forward. I think the practical reality of how hard it is to electrify everything is finally, coming to settle in a bit. And I'm confident we're going to have liquid fuel use in motor vehicles for decades to come. And ethanol is going to play a very meaningful role in that future, even as we do have more electric vehicles. We just won't do it at the pace at which the Biden administration hopes and dreams we will. There will be several more hiccups in the road to the EV transition, and that provides important opportunities for liquid fuels like ethanol that also are saving people money at the pump and reducing greenhouse gas emissions.
Plenty of wins, plenty of challenges ahead of us here in 2024. Folks can learn more. Stay up to date. Ethanol.org. We've been talking with the CEO of the America Coalition for Ethanol, Brian Jennings, here on AOA. Brian, always good to have a conversation with you, sir. Have a great one. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jesse. You too.
All right, coming up next here on the program, we are going to dive into the status on certain trade issues and more with John Bode from the Corn Refiners Association. He joins us next here on AOA.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your card donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
Right now, health is in every headline. But are we actually taking care of ourselves? At Advent Health, we're making sure you can safely check in with a medical professional, schedule an appointment with your primary care provider, or book a virtual visit right from your home. We're taking every safety precaution so you have easy access to care. There's never been a more important time to take care of your whole health. It's time to check in. Download the Advent Health app or visit AdventHealthDurand.com.
Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. Olivia Newton-John and If You Love Me here in the WRDN Morning Farm Report. I'm Brian Winnikins, 30 in downtown Durand. Let's take a look at markets from overnight and yesterday. Early this morning in the milk markets, only the February contract is traded up 2 cents to 1564. March at 1632, April 1712, May 1775. Cheese markets yesterday were steady. Barrels at 141.5, 40-pound blocks at 145.5. No trades on the day. Cash butter down 3.5 to 265. Three trades on the day. Graded non-fat dry milk steady at 118. Eight trades on the day. Dry whey up 3/4 to 40 3/4. Two trades on the day. Cattle are called higher today. Hogs are expected to open mixed. The cash cattle business remained light Thursday as feedlots are holding out for higher prices seen on a limited trade earlier in the week. Hog futures yesterday had a strong Thursday in the nearby months with limited strength in the later months, and that's where we could see that mixed open it today. February live cattle opens the day at 171.12, April at 174.30, June 171.55. January feeder cattle open at 224.67, March 225.65, April 231.27. February hogs open at 69.05, April 74.95, May at 81.80. Meanwhile, in the grain markets today, corn is flat, soybeans slightly lower, wheat though moving slightly higher this morning. As the trade continues to watch world equity markets, they're mostly lower this morning after the mixed session on Thursday. Now, the employment data released Thursday showed higher than expected jobs growth, while initial jobs claims were lower. That implies underlying strength in the labor market, and that could keep the Fed from cutting interest rates as quickly as been assumed. March, May, and July corn this morning all down a half. March at 466, May 478.5, July 488.25, new crop down one at 497.75. January beans down 3/4 to 1261.25, March and May both down 3.5, March at 1264, May 1273, new crop down three at 1217.75. January soybean meal this morning down 450 to 376.70. And March soybean oil up 26 cents to 48.42. Chicago wheat, March up 1 3/4 to 615.25. May up 2 1/4 to 626.75. July up 2.5 to 634.5. And in Minneapolis, March wheat up 6.5 to 717.75, while May up 6 to 726. Energy markets this morning, February crude oil up 47 cents to 72.66, March up 41 cents to 72.77. And February and March gas both steady this morning, February at 211, March at 213. That's national markets. Local markets are next. You're listening to the WRDN Morning Farm Report.
I'm with Tom Heffernan of Tom Heffernan Ford. Tom, it's 2024 and time to get a new vehicle for the new year. Tell us about it.
Well, I don't know where 2023 went, but 2024 is here, and now's the time to get yourself a nice new or used vehicle to go on vacation, to go to grandma's house. So we've got a great selection of new cars. We've got new Broncos in stock. We've got new pickups in stock, and we've got a great selection of used cars, factory program cars. We've got Edges, Explorers in stock. So come and see us, folks. Tom Heffernan, Tom Heffernan Ford, in beautiful downtown Lake City, Minnesota.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Headline there that quite interesting as we're seeing more talk, more moves by various states in terms of restricting foreign ownership of farmland. All right, well, joining us now here on the program, always good to have a conversation with the president and CEO of the Corn Refiners Association. John Bodie is with us. John, happy new year to you. Thanks for joining us on AOA today.
Happy new year, Jesse.
Well, John, let's get caught up on where things stand on various issues that are impacting our nation's corn farmers and things that the CRA is watching. I know as we get going with the new year, we got plenty going on Capitol Hill, of course. So we got to try to figure out this farm bill and things of that nature, watching various legislation work through coming up here against the presidential election year. I know trade, too, of course, is a big topic. And here just at the end of 2023, we saw the issues on the U.S.-Mexico border with the migrant crisis there and the shutdown of the rail lines. And so you think about just various trade issues. We have global trade challenges. In your eyes, what stands out right now as far as some of the trade issues we need to keep an eye on here this year?
Well, Jesse, what's devastating to me is that we have had a trade surplus in food and agriculture for over 60 years. And this year, or last year, was the first time that we had a food and ag trade deficit. And USDA, at the very end of last year, came out and predicted that trade deficit for food and agriculture will grow to over $30 billion. And of course, when you look at a trade deficit, it's what are your imports and what are your exports? The growth, only a small amount of the growth was in imports. The real big change was a fall in our agricultural exports. And I think we've got, this is devastating for American agriculture. Our prices are dependent on our markets. And if we don't have markets, we've got real problems. And this is a consequence of a longer term move away from market opening efforts. We haven't signed a new market opening trade agreement in 10 years, while the rest of the world is signing trade agreements aggressively. China is implementing the largest trade agreement in the world, and the rest of the world, our economic competitors, are taking our markets away from us.
Well, John, you raise a great point that we haven't had any new trade deals in quite some time. I just wonder, what's it going to take for the U.S. to get certain trade deals done? I know we've been working on one with the European Union, but that hasn't gotten done. I guess I do kind of know what it's probably going to take. It's probably going to take an administration that is willing to grow our trade avenues around the world at this point. Wouldn't you say that's probably the case?
Yes, sir, I would. I think it is political result. This is a result of policy. And we need to recognize that there are smart trade deals and there are foolish trade deals. The new USMCA is a good example of a smart trade deal, and that's why it passed with overwhelming support on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans. Was good for manufacturing workers as well as farmers. So there are trade deals that can be really good for American agriculture, and also that is fundamental to the economic strength of America. We as a country are weaker strategically if we draw up in a shell and are protectionist, and we lose our competitive edge, we lose our economic influence. So this is important for American agriculture, which you and I focus on, but also it's important for America as a big picture. And so I think we need to do a better job of communicating to our elected officials the importance of trade, and it should not be something we shrug about in the elections when politicians fail to give it appropriate focus.
We're talking with John Bode, President, CEO of the Corn Refiners Association. John, you know, we hear a lot of talk about the relationship between the U.S. and China, and when we talk ag trade, it seems like a lot of folks always get hung up on, well, China's not buying or China is buying, et cetera. But correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Mexico has surpassed China in total trade volume with the U.S. here, or is at least neck and neck. So one has to wonder, should we maybe put a little emphasis on expanding our relationship with Mexico versus worrying so much about China? What do you think?
Jesse, I believe that American agriculture needs its markets everywhere we can get them. And so I think Mexico is of fundamental importance. I think we're number one with Mexico, but China's still a big buyer. And we need to pay attention to those markets and cultivate those markets. And the approach to those two trading partners is very, very different. Because we have USMCA, we have effectively a North American economic alliance with Canada, U.S., and Mexico. And that is a powerful driver to the economic benefit of all three countries. And frankly, to the extent there is better economic growth in Mexico, some of our border problems can longer term be put in better place. So that is really important, and I feel it's a primary focus of ours at CRA. But I am not dismissing the importance of trade with China. China simply is a buyer when they need it, and we need to recognize that, and politics and geopolitics, political positioning is always part of the equation with China, and that's just reality. But we need to be there and be good suppliers to China. They need food. And long-term, it's in the best interest of the U.S. to have economic relations with China that protect our strategic interests, but continue to build that economic relationship where we are so good at producing food and they need it.
John, before we wrap it up here today, just final thoughts from you. I should ask, I know you're there in Capitol Hill and we're just getting back to things. Have you heard any chatter in terms of this new farm bill? Anything you're hearing from your colleagues and other folks that you know there on Capitol Hill as we are getting back to things here in 2024?
Jesse, I'm I am bullish. We're going to get a farm bill. I'm not saying when. We've got great leaders of the agriculture committees. And I'm especially, you know, getting back to this point about our markets. It's important that we get a new farm bill. There is ag biorefinery innovation legislation that has bicameral and bipartisan support in the farm bill. That is an opportunity to make us more competitive with Asia and Europe and develop our markets for American agriculture.
Folks can learn more online, corn.org. John Bode with the Corn Refiners Association. Thanks for the time today. Appreciate it. We will talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Jesse. I'm always lucky to talk with you. Take care.
Coming up next, we'll talk with Abigail Peterson from the Illinois Soybean Association here on AOA.
Nothing slows my little girl down. Except a stuffy nose.
Mommy.
That's why I use Sinex Children's Saline from Vicks. Sinex instantly clears mucus in everyday stuffy little noses with a gentle, ultra-fine mist designed for kids. Just Sinex? Breathe. Her stuffy nose is gone for now. And so is she.
Sinex Children's Saline. Sinex? Breathe. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hi, this is Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell. The holiday season should remind us that faith and family are the most important things in life. And we hope that you succeed in coming together this holiday season with those you love and in the process creating some generational memories. Holidays have this magical power to magnify small things to ever greater memories over time. What a return on investment. Happy holidays.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Madison area attorneys. 1110 Fourier Drive, Suite 120, Madison, Wisconsin, 53717.
Denise has been playing jazz for 40 years. Last concert, one of the musicians fell sick with RSV. Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is a highly contagious virus that can lead to breathing problems. This time, she's choosing to help protect herself with Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo. Abrysvo is a vaccine for the prevention of lower respiratory tract disease caused by respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, in adults 60 years of age and older. Abrysvo is not for everyone and may not protect all who receive the vaccine. Don't get Abrysvo if you've had a severe allergic reaction to its ingredients. People with a weakened immune system may have a decreased response to Abrysvo. The most common side effects are tiredness, headache, pain at the injection site, and muscle pain. Ask your pharmacist or doctor about Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo, respiratory syncytial virus vaccine. For full prescribing information, please call 1-844-989-7284 or visit Abrysvo.com. Brought to you by Pfizer.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, we're talking with Charlie Carter, Product Quality and Additives Manager for CHS Refined Fuels Commercial Supply, about how the right fuel will keep equipment running in the winter. Charlie, what happens to diesel fuel in equipment when temperatures drop, and why does that matter?
Standard number two diesel fuel generally does not fare well in cold temperatures. Diesel fuel can form crystals and clog filters and fuel lines, and prolonged freezing temps can cause engines to not operate properly. That can basically lead to that dreaded downtime that we all hate. So it's really important to take precautions to prevent these issues from occurring, especially in cold weather conditions.
Charlie, when should farmers switch their diesel blends?
Yeah, so every situation is going to be slightly different and somewhat temperature dependent. So it's important that you work with a knowledgeable fuel supplier who has a grasp on the diesel characteristics in their geography. With that being said, you should be blending your tanks to a winter blend when temperatures are right around the freezing point or 32 degrees Fahrenheit. It's important to blend early and when the fuel is at least 10 degrees above the cloud point of the fuel, or it won't mix well together.
When you're thinking about cost and performance, what's the best way to determine the best winter fuel blend?
So you will need to decide really what's best for your individual operation and what temperature you expect to be able to operate your equipment in. So if your operation relies on your equipment needing to be up in those harshest climates, you're undoubtedly going to need to invest in a diesel blend that's going to meet those needs. You're going to run the risk of being stranded on the side of the road, unable to perform your critical tasks. So it's best to discuss the specific needs with your fuel supplier, as they're going to be able to deliver the high quality Cenex fuels at the correct blends for optimal performance and peace of mind.
Well, thank you for joining us around the table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Joining us now here on the program, she is the Director of Agronomy for the Illinois Soybean Association, here to tell us more about some of their investments in variety trial research. Abigail Peterson is with us here on AOA. Abigail, thanks for making time to join us back here on the show. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, the Illinois Soybean Association, you guys partner with the University of Illinois to conduct a lot of annual variety testing. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, definitely. So the University of Illinois has been conducting variety trials for a number of years, and the Soybean Association has obviously contributed to getting that process done, but specifically also understanding what protein and oil content comes from the soybean testing specifically. So it's kind of cool for farmers to take advantage of that information to understand where they might set wise as far as protein and oil content, which can they can equivalent to taking advantage to different marketplaces. There's a ton of varieties, about 250 that are tested, over 20 seed companies. A great also non-biased source of information for farmers to wade through, and when they're making seed decisions, just have another layer of added value as a tool as they make their choices.
Well, and thinking about those choices and looking at this variety testing, tell us a little bit more about how this research really truly benefits soybean farmers in the state.
Yeah, definitely. So first of all, it is regional. So when you first log in and, you know, you can see the different results, they're out now. So 2023 is compiled and you can look at the results regionally and try to find a scope of where you would be most relative to the same similar climate and soil types. But from there, you can really look at, you know, what type of maturity ranges. You know, if you're wanting to look at maybe an early maturity range, how well did those bode in that year that we had? Really comparing it to what your yields are as well, I think is a good stance to kind of use that as a benchmark to compare. And it also tells you, you know, when that maturity happened. So if they planted a very early maturity in Northern Illinois of a 1.4 and it matured September 28th, you know, how does that play into your risk factor on your farm? Do you need more of a broad scope of maturity so you can have better harvestability? Are you looking at cover crops and you want to get something planted after? So maybe a little bit earlier maturity will help that. And then what does that look yield-wise? Is it comparable to a full season? Is it comparable to what planting dates you had and how that, you know, did you most of your maturities range at the mid-October? So it's a very, in my perspective, it's a great way to really challenge yourself to see what opportunities are you missing and what can you find as an advantage to kind of, what's that next level that you can get to the next year?
I think it's very important for farmers to do that, because obviously we're trying to figure out what is going to be the best variety for our operation. It might be different from one farm to the next. So really, I think looking at all the different research that's available, Abigail, and looking at things as closely as possible, so important when you're making those decisions for, say, the upcoming year, like we will be here very soon for 2024, right?
Yes, definitely. And really evaluating, you know, what are some of those limiting factors on your field. We also, this year, for the 2024 season, are funding soybean cyst nematode reproduction testing as part of the variety trials. We also have free available soil SCN testing kits that farmers can do, because that's a hidden yield drag, a hidden yield robber on soybeans. And if soybean cyst is something you need to be watching out for, looking at the varieties and what you have available as far as packages becomes quite limited. And if that's what's maybe keeping you from getting an extra 10 to 20 bushel, you really need to consider testing your soils and also looking at the varieties that you have as an option. So I would say that's another source that farmers can use this information for as well.
Yeah, SCN, such a huge yield robber, something we need to watch for very closely moving into 2024's growing season. We're talking with Abigail Peterson, Director of Agronomy for the Illinois Soybean Association. Is there anything new ISA is going to be doing as part of their research for variety trials and more as we get into 2024? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, along with the SCN testing, you know, working in correlation, like I mentioned, with the soil testing as well. We also have a lot of research projects that are looking into different management systems, looking at seed row spacing or row spacing, as well as looking at how we incorporate different planting methods as far as what tillage practices, whether that be no-till, conventional, strip tillage, as well as different cover crop systems. So it's a whole gambit of when planting comes around of what availabilities you should have for your association to look for tools to help you make some of those spring decisions where we don't know what weather we'll get or what really to expect, but when we do, really knowing what the best option is to get a good start to the year. So there's a whole host of information on the research that we're doing at lsoyadvisor.com, and I encourage all farmers to get on there and look. We also have our big soybean summit coming up here in Champaign on February 2nd, where you can meet the researchers and meet the ISA agronomist and ask questions in person.
Fantastic. And can you mentioned the 2023 results. Can farmers find all of that on the same website as well, Abigail?
Yes, and it's very easy to find. You can also find wheat and corn and soybeans. They're all organized regionally, PDFs, and you can go to vt.cropsci@illinois.edu and look that up. Usually I just type in University of Illinois soybean variety trials in my Google, and it's the first search available. So however you find it, that it is up and easy to find.
Well, a lot of great ways to get the information. And as Abigail mentioned, ilsoyadvisor.com, or you can also find more about the Illinois Soybean Association online at ilsoy.com. We have been talking with the Director of Agronomy for the Illinois Soybean Association, Abigail Peterson. Abigail, thanks for joining us here on AOA today. Appreciate the time. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. You too.
And we do appreciate it. Abigail Peterson with the Illinois Soybean Association. Thanks to her for joining us here on today's show. Again, learn more, ilsoy.org or ilsoyadvisor.com. Definitely going to be watching the weather over the next few days. Could see some pretty hefty snowfall totals across parts of the country. So no doubt to keep an eye on the latest forecast and stay safe out there if some of that heavy snow does come your way. I'm out of time. Thanks for joining us here today on AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially
financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Scranton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down. A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com.